several comments with respect to that. First of all, with respect to the ill health effects, we specifically asked for, at our first meeting, documentation as to whether or not you were dealing with a health hazard situation. No one could provide any documentation to that effect in writing. One gentleman got up and testified that he felt ill and had some vomiting, and that he ascribed that to the water situation. But more importantly, as I indicated earlier, there are specific statutory requirements as well as a state agency coordination rule that say we have to act in compliance with acknowledged plans. And there is specific evidence that this particular proposal did not comply with the acknowledged plan. And I don't think, the commission was extremely sympathetic to trying to resolve the situation, but it would have been totally inappropriate for us, in my view, to have taken the action of approving the request in direct contravention of those acknowledged plans. That we did, the commission did direct, and I wrote a letter to the city manager of Eugene, urging them to try to work out a solution to it so that we could allow the extension.
Okay, getting back to the specific thing of the water, it's my understanding that somebody told them your water is not up to standard because of the bacteria count. I think they're required to do testing on a community system like that. They even went to the point of trying to drill wells, and they still were testing, and they were out of compliance. It seems like even in the absence of a doctor's note or something, there'd be an indication there that if there weren't documented problems right now, that somebody in the state thought that that system was inadequate.
In my recollection, the material submitted to us indicated that there were contamination problems with the well, or water as it came directly from the well, that they had installed a temporary system that was treating it and eliminating the contamination, and what they were searching for was an alternative solution to that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Will those people get water if we pass House Bill 3413?
No guarantee.
It's not guaranteed.
I guess what I'm really asking, and maybe going, what's the connection between abolishing the Boundary Commission and whether or not the people in Oaks Mobile Park get water from Willamette Water District? I haven't heard the connection that says if we abolish your commission, that they'll get the water that they need, or that they think they need, or that Willamette Water District wants to give them. I can't figure out who wants what in this whole thing. So.
Fine.
Trying to pick my words carefully here.
Even if you abolish the commission, number one, the agreement of EWEB and the city of Eugene is going to be required to modify the existing agreement with Willamette Water Company. I would like to check with Mr. Gordon, but I don't know if 199 is abolished, if there is any other review for that extension.
Only through the county health division.
So there would be no other, essentially no other review of the decision.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean if EWEB decides no, they don't want to do that, or the city of Eugene decides no, they don't want to do that, then they still wouldn't get water?
Yes, sir.
Regardless of whether you're there or not?
Yes, that's
and
correct.
And you've been accused of being an arm of the city of Eugene, so that we would assume that the city of Eugene wouldn't change their mind because you're there or because you're not there. Kind of make those assumptions.
Well, I didn't assume we were an arm of the city.
Well, that's why I said I've heard that in this kind of testimony. But obvious point, Mr. Chairman, is I think this Oaks situation may be a difficult situation, but I don't see its direct relevance to the bill in front of us. And I wish that whoever had brought it up could come and reestablish that if we're going to make it a major question as we decide the fate of the Boundary Commission.
I think it's safe to say that if you're not being here, wouldn't help them get water. Your being here didn't in itself help them in any way. I mean, you may not have been a hindrance in doing away with, you may not guarantee that they get water, but you certainly haven't been able to do anything to help the
the folks there.
We cannot compel the extension.
Okay. Another bill that we have up that we that some people will be addressing has to do with non-contiguous annexations, and currently that's only done in Boundary Commission areas, and I think your Boundary Commission is the only one that has done non-contiguous annexations. Would you like to address that?
Yes, sir. Do you have a perspective you would like me to address it from, or is it just a general question?
Yeah, when we look at the map over there, the areas in green, I think, are, and the map was, I think, provided by the city of Eugene, those areas in green are the most recent annexations over the last couple of years. And it's the committee's understanding that with the lines in red being sewer extension from the Eugene area out there, that those annexations happened primarily because the people that were annexed wanted sewer service.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. And that basically the other services are provided out there by some other district or the county or someone else. How do you see the city providing the other services that they need to, like primarily police, in areas that are that remote from the city? And basically, I assume they could stop a crime in process, but I assume they don't write tickets in the Santa Clara River Road area. So when they go out there to patrol, they're essentially making the trip out there to specifically to do that.
Well, I think there are several responses to the service issue. First of all, you are correct that these annexations are occurring adjacent to sewer lines that have been installed in the area under state mandate. With respect to the issue of police, the Eugene police provide police protection to the Malin Suite Airport, the airport, Metropolitan Airport, and it is off to the west or to the left-hand side of the map. So they are going through the area as part of their work with respect to airport patrol.
Now, when they cite somebody at the airport, they cite them under city ordinances?
I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that.
I assume when they cite somebody in the city, they do it. They can do it either under city ordinance or state law.
Yes, that's my understanding. With respect to other services, much of the area, well, all of the area that has been annexed north of Beltline Road is within the Santa Clara Rural Fire Protection District. The City of Eugene and Santa Clara Rural Fire Protection District have an intergovernmental agreement that when property is annexed to the city within that district, the city pays in lieu of taxes to the district, and the Rural Fire Protection District continues to provide that particular service. That agreement is structured so that it can be eliminated with 5-year notice from either party, and it may at some point, the city may take over the area, but at least at this point they do it through that contractual arrangement.
Do you know anything about whether these people, the city was asked to bring anybody in that wanted to explain why they wanted to go into the city, and I don't think they've been able to get anybody that wanted to come up and do that. I assume these people wanted sewer to develop or to enhance the saleability of their property, because they would be buildable then.
There are two primary reasons that, at least from the Boundary Commission perspective, that we have seen advanced for seeking these annexations. The first one is to allow development of the property. And the other one is to address failing septic tanks. There are at least three of the non-contiguous annexations that I can recall where it was to address failing septic tanks.
And those folks were told they couldn't hook up if they didn't annex.
That is the policy agreed to by the Springfield, Eugene, and Lane County in the acknowledged plan.
On any of these annexations, have they ever gone to a vote and there's been a remonstrance and they've gone to a vote?
I believe two have, yes.
Did either one of them pass?
No.
I hate to say evidence, but the things that were provided to us in terms of the annexations would lead one to believe that they were done purposely to avoid having any electors in the annexation areas being annexed, and that they kind of maybe didn't do their homework, and some of these people actually lived there and were unknown until the remonstrance period came up. Did that kind of discussion ever come up before the Boundary Commission? Why do you have a shape like that that green area to the left of the most northerly part of the city, and why that kind of followed an unusual pattern, and why it happened to miss a piece of property that apparently has a store on the front and a fellow that lives on the same piece of property in the back? Did it ever occur to the Boundary Commission to say, you know, why is it shaped like this?
I could I be more specific?
Yeah, it's I believe this is the one that we had some specific information on, and there was three lots here that were not brought in, one that was contiguous, and several other lots that were not brought in with that one annexation. Well, and maybe to put it another way, have you ever told the city or anybody else, why don't you come back with an annexation that's a little bit more squared off in the boundaries and possibly would make more sense for providing some services to?
Well, in part, you're getting into a balancing question. The primary impetus for the annexations that have occurred in River Road, Santa Clara in the recent past have primarily been commercial and or industrial properties that wanted the service so they could develop. And so from that perspective, it was viewed as much as an economic development issue as anything. And I think you have to look at, again, at the acknowledged plan. The commission has, on occasion, modified proposals that have come from the city of Eugene in terms of deleting properties, as an example. But yes, you do get some irregular lines when you try to, when you're balancing the question of people that legitimately want to be able to develop their property and yet not creating a situation where that's ultimately going to be rejected and they're not going to be able to proceed.
One other question. Was there an annexation proposed that took in a substantial amount of the right-of-way for the Beltline Road that subsequently was remonstrated against and failed?
It's my recollection that was correct. I might point out that one of the reasons for including Beltline Road and advocated by the Eugene Police Department is that the entire right-of-way of Beltline Road is within the city of Eugene, except for that particular segment right there. And so you have the situation where the city is the enforcement agency for the vast majority of Beltline Road, and then you have a segment that is up to the county or the state police if they happen to be there.
Okay, if we don't do away with the Boundary Commission and we don't adjust your ability to do non-contiguous and cherry stem annexations, all you have to do is annex Beltline Road and then all of the bottom area, which I think is River Road, or is that
Yes,
Santa Clara?
That's River Road.
River Road, then you could take just, the city could take in without you're really having any say over it, right?
That is a theoretical possibility. I can assure you from discussions that the Boundary Commission has had in respect to that other annexation proposal, but that's not a step it's looking to leap into with great expectation.
Well, getting to the theoretical, what do you mean theoretical? If we shaded in that one area, you'd almost have it surrounded. And if I assume if the people came in and wanted to come in that would surround them, there'd be no theory about it. I'm not certain you can turn down an island annexation, because if you don't act on it, it goes in automatically in 90 days.
Well,
and I don't know what reason you'd have to reject an island annexation.
That is true, sir. When I said it was theoretically possible, I meant I don't know that it's assured that the Boundary Commission would take that action. But on the other hand, if this particular House bill is passed, the city of Eugene could take that action if it wished.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yes, I'm going to have to leave in a little while. And I keep struggling with these bills that we're talking about, because it seems to me that they're trying to get at an issue, but they're not really addressing the issue that they want to get at. And if I understand this correctly, that you've at this point identified what the issue that the people who are introducing these bills really want to get at, and that is that they want to protect the people in River Road and Santa Clara from involuntary annexation by through the island annexation process, that they're afraid that if the Boundary Commission continues to exist and the city of Eugene is allowed to do non-contiguous and cherry stem annexations, and eventually they'll be created into an island and they'll be sucked into the city of Eugene against their will. I guess I would suggest that if that's what the proponents really want to deal with, I would ask them to come to us with a bill that deals with that. Because I think that the issue of the Boundary Commission, whether it exists or not, is not really the issue, as I understand it. And the issue of cherry stem or non-contiguous annexations, that isn't really the issue. The real issue that I think that you've identified and through your line of questioning pinpointed for us is this island annexation, and I wish people would address that directly. And so that I guess on the two bills that are in front of us regarding island cherry stem and the Boundary Commission, I don't think we ought to even proceed any further with these bills, because they're not addressing the issues that the people who bring these things to us are really concerned about. They're trying to get at it through the back door. Why don't we just go at it straight up front? That's my feeling on this thing.
Are there any other questions? Representative Stein.
I'll try something else here on my old track here. I'd like to get a sense over the last, how long have you been in existence? 20 years? 1669.
Yes.
What is the level of activity that you've seen in terms of annexation and formation of districts? Are we, like, increasing that activity, or did we peak in the 70s and now it's less? Can you give me a sense of what it's been like over the last 20 years and where we are now in relationship to the last, say, 10 and 20 years?
My impression is that the level of activity really parallels the level of development that is occurring in the community and is really very closely tied to that. And so, for instance, in the mid to late 1970s, there was a high level of activity in terms of annexation, both to Eugene, Springfield, and other types of activities. With the downturn in the economy in the early 80s, there was a corresponding decline in annexation activity. Now, within the past year and a half, 2 years, that level of activity is picking up fairly significantly, not only in Eugene and Springfield, but we've had at least 4 and possibly 5 annexations to the city of Florence within the past year, and there's also been more emphasis on some of the community systems, as you see recreational types of developments starting to happen again. Does that help any?
Yes.
Are there any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Emily Hsu from the City of Eugene. Welcome.
Hello. Representative Young and members of the committee, I'm Emily Hsu, Eugene City Council and Chair of the City's Legislative Committee. I should tell you that I represent 7 councilors and the mayor. I am aware that Councilor Homer was here. He is the 8th member of our body and entitled to his own opinions, which he expressed. I'm also bringing you the good wishes of the mayor of Springfield, Bill Morissette, who was unable to be here today because of his job responsibilities, but shares the opinions of the majority of the Eugene City Council, and I think you've received some materials from him. You also have received or are about to receive a letter from Mayor Miller of Eugene that puts in writing his opinions in this particular issue. So I want to give you an overview of the way the City of Eugene looks at the policies surrounding the issues in these two bills. And Pat Decker, who's a senior planner for the City of Eugene, is with me if you have technical questions.
Can I ask one question?
Surely.
How much of your council is new with the past election? And when is the last time you've reviewed these policies with the present council?
2 members of our council are new as of the past election. The last time these issues were reviewed was in a note in our weekly packet, which goes out on Fridays. That was last Friday. A note from me saying, this is our council policy. You reviewed it before the beginning of the session. This is what we're doing. If you have any concerns, give me a call. I heard from Councilor Homer, which is to be expected. So we have a legislative committee that meets every 2 weeks, and that committee, and there are 3 of us on that committee, reviewed these matters extensively 2 weeks ago.
Was there specific discussion at any point on the Boundary Commission, say in the last year, where the council got together and said, let's discuss our position on the Boundary Commission?
We have a process of our legislative operation where we have a set of policies of things that we have worked on for a period of years. The Boundary Commission is on that set of policies, and we review those policies before every session. And that happened in December of 88.
The reason I brought this up, that there was a discussion with the lobbyists from the City of Eugene and Representative Campbell, and the upshot of that was, in my mind, that this issue was not specifically discussed except in a package of legislative bills that might be coming out in December. And so maybe that wasn't accurate.
Well, I really want to talk about the surrounding land use issues, which we talk about in an ongoing way and have for ever since.
Yeah. No, I can appreciate that, but if you're speaking for the council, it would be helpful if we knew that 2 weeks ago you sat down and looked at this bill and said, yes, we oppose it, or that this is just a long-standing council position. Yes, Representative Young.
Did Representative Campbell ever bring his concerns about the Boundary Commission to the Eugene City Council to seek your advice and guidance before he introduced his bill? Since he's introduced his bill, has he come to you and asked your opinion?
No. He may have had conversations with staff. But the way we do it, Representative Young, is to have a committee that goes over all the matters before the legislature and keeps the council informed. We don't take time on the agenda of the full council to discuss, one or two issues in this whole session.
Yeah, and the reason I brought it up was just to kind of put it in perspective, but a lot of times we get things like this resolution we have from the city of Florence where they say we sat down and for these reasons and these reasons and these reasons we resolved that we're against this or for this. And you didn't go through that, or you normally don't go through that process.
That's not our normal process.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about the general background of this issue, and Carl Hostica has expressed, I think, quite clearly what we're really talking about is the land use issues that are concerned with River Road and Santa Clara. Looking at that map, River Road being the southern half, Beltline Road cuts right through the middle of the northern half of Santa Clara. This is a complex set of land use issues that you're involved with, and these particular bills refer primarily to this situation. We have a metro plan. Our general plan in Lane County is a Eugene Springfield Lane County effort, and we have an urban service boundary that encircles the two cities and the urbanizable land. So Springfield is our partner in this effort, and that's why our Mayor Morissette regrets he cannot be here. And they have some comparable issues on their side of the river that don't show on that map, but which are of concern to them. It was decided in that plan that the cities would be the providers of urban services. And in this area we're talking about, I think it's pretty clear that it will be the city of Eugene or will be a new incorporated city. And I think there's not very much feeling anymore that there will be a new incorporated city. That has been discussed in the past. There have been some efforts. They have not been successful. Eugene annexation continues. I don't think that's any longer a live issue. So we're talking about urban services to be provided by the city of Eugene. And that is part of the metro plan, which is our local plan approved by the state. And the city of Eugene takes that responsibility seriously. If we're going to provide services, then we need to do our planning to include services to that area, which has about 30,000 residents and is developed now to an urban density. So what have we done about that? Just a few for instances. We have a sewage treatment plant that serves the whole metropolitan area, cost over $100 million. There's a local bond of just under $30 million being paid off by the voters of Eugene Springfield. The rest was federal money. We built enough capacity into that plant to handle the sewage for these 30,000 people. We thought that was only a responsible way to do it. But that leaves us...
Beyond that, you were told you had to.
Well, all right. The state told us we had to. Yeah, I mean, this is all intertwined. But nevertheless, we did it. You can put any spin on it you want to, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And our taxpayers are footing the bill for the local share. And so we have a concern that these people have sewer service. Now, the DEQ has declared the groundwater in this particular basin to be contaminated, and they do not allow new construction except on sewers in this area. So that's another reason for the provision of urban services by a city. These folks need sewers, and that wasn't our idea. That we had nothing to do with the building of the houses, the septic tanks, or the determination by DEQ. That's just another fact that's there.
Okay. This is a question because I don't know the answer. Did City of Eugene ever testify on having three criteria for contamination of groundwater rather than four?
I'd have to ask Pat that. I don't
that was a,
know.
A fairly recent change and was significant in mid-Multnomah County in terms of whether sewers would be mandated or not?
Chair Young, I don't know the answer to that question. I know our Deputy Public Works Director, Terry Smith, is in the audience. He may know the answer to that question.
Could you identify yourself?
I'm Patricia Decker, and I'm Principal Planner with the City of Eugene.
Yes, Chairman Young, Terry Smith, City of Eugene, Deputy Public Works Director. The statute that you're talking about that includes the three or four criteria is the Threat to Drinking Water Statute 454 something or other, as I recall. It does not apply to River Road, Santa Clara. It applies only to the Mid-Multnomah County area. So we have virtually been uninvolved in whether it's three criteria, four criteria, or whatever.
Okay. Thank you.
Back to River Road, Santa Clara. So we have this situation where Eugene feels committed to providing the services, and it's the law, the state law, not just our local policy. And we have made other provisions. We have a fire redeployment plan. Our fire department has plans for reorganizing the location of the fire stations to better serve this area. And we serve River Road now under a contract with the Rural Fire District. So we are providing fire services in half the area, but residents are paying separately for that to the city. So we feel as if we have taken our responsibilities seriously. We also put in the trunk line. We applied to EPA and got one of the last grants that came from that federal agency for a trunk sewer.